All right, so we are here with Wanda Garner, who was AMATIC president from 1996 to 1997. Thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
We'll start off a little bit with your professional background. Where did you go to college and what did you study?
Well, I'm a product of a community college. So I went to Independence Community College in Kansas and moved on to a small college in Pittsburgh, Kansas, not the Pittsburgh, but Pittsburgh, Kansas. Mm-hmm. Got my bachelor's degree there, and then on to University of Missouri at Rolla for my graduate work, and I have a master's degree there, completed a master's there. And that was about 75, so it's been a while.
When did you first start teaching in community colleges?
Immediately after that.
Okay.
I was hired immediately after my master's degree in 1975 and began teaching at Sheridan College, which is a community college in northern Wyoming.
Mm.
So I taught at Sheridan College. It's a public college. I've taught at Sheridan College for 4 years and basically got tired of the very cold weather. and it was a small college as well, so I was looking for something a little larger. So I moved to Colorado Springs and taught at Colorado Technical College for 7 years. That was a college that was a private 2+2 college, so it was a little bit different in that it was private for profit.
Mm-hmm.
And about 80% of our graduates earned 2-year degrees, and the others earned 4-year degrees. So it was very much a community college feel, but it wasn't really a community college.
Right.
And because it was privately owned, it was subject to a variety of administrative changes without very much input from the faculty, which I didn't like very much. And by then I had discovered AMATIC and figured out there were other options and other things available. There just isn't time to give it the prep that's necessary to do the kind of job that I wanted to do.
Right. Tell us a little bit how the teaching of mathematics has changed over the course of your career.
It's what I'm seeing is a pendulum. In my first job in Wyoming, one of the ways the courses there were set up and designed to be taught was basically self-paced modules, but of course not computerized at that point in time. It was all on paper, so it was similar to what they're now calling the Emporium system, but done by paper.
Mm-hmm.
Which was partially successful, partially not. It depends tremendously on the motivation of the students and the structure and the support or lack of.
Right.
That's provided. From there to the more traditional lecture, my personal style is lecture but interactive. It's lecture discussion, a lot of interaction. I do not get into group work. I do not enjoy group work, and I don't force the students to do group work. I was playing with a lot of the ideas of working problems as assigned in the class for a certain amount of time, allowing me to circulate among the students and work individually with students. And some students would choose to work with their neighbors and others wouldn't, you know, their option.
What year did you join AMATIC?
I actually don't remember. It was during my first job. It was during my time in Wyoming, so
it would have
been probably 78.
Oh, very early.
Yeah, very early. Very early,
yeah.
Yes. Because the Wyoming had the Central Region Vice President at that time was a guy named Will Worthy, who was in Wyoming, and Wyoming is pretty small as far as the community, 7 community colleges. So he got acquainted with all of us very quickly. The math department at Sheridan College, where I was, consisted of 2 of us. So every spring, the colleges there would have a meeting where they would get together, the math faculty would get together and basically discuss their courses. It was our version of articulation with the university, and there was one university. So the 7 community colleges fed into one university. Made transfer very easy. Anyway, because Will was so involved with AMATIC, he very quickly recruited me to become a member of AMATIC and a delegate. So by the late 70s, I was a member of the organization. I started attending conferences in 81. So my first conference was 1981 in New Orleans. And I attended there because Will said, I want you to be a delegate. I said, what's that mean? He says, Will, let me tell you.
So, are you a member of any other professional organizations other than AMATIC?
The California organization, CMC Cube, the math organization there. And I have been from time to time a member of NCTM and MIA. Currently, I'm not. I'm being an administrator. I've shifted to administrative memberships.
Now, California has two AMATIC affiliations.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
One for the north and one for the
correct.
South.
So correct.
Are you north?
North.
Okay.
I'm north. Yes.
What roles have you played in AMATIC, other than the obvious one of president? But we talked about delegate from Wyoming.
Well, yeah. Will appointed me a delegate as a representative actually from Wyoming, and then I moved to Colorado, and he said, okay, I need a Colorado delegate now. I said, all right. So I played that role. And in 1984, I got a call from Will, and we were getting ready to have a conference in New York City at that time. And he said, are you going to go to the conference? I said, sure, yeah. And by then I was hooked on them. And he says, okay, he says, there's a chance that I'm going to resign my position midterm, because he had some other things in his life going on that required his attention. And he says, there's a chance I'll resign, and I'd be interested, would you be at all interested in being considered as my replacement, as an appointment for a year, and, you know, to complete the rest of my term? And I said, well, yeah, let's talk about it. I'd be interested in being considered. Okay, so I get to the conference in New York, and, you know, jet-lagged and flying across country, and I'd never been to New York before, and I get a call from Will at 5 the next morning, and he says, the board's meeting at 6, and I'd like to introduce you as the new vice president.
6 a.m.
6 a.m. I said, oh, okay. What have you done, Will? You
know? He took that very literally.
Yes, he did. So I joined the board as an appointed vice president from the Central Region in 1984. I was elected to that position the year later. But in 86, when I decided to leave Wyoming and move to California, that's not in the Central Region.
Right.
So I resigned the position, as similar to what Will did, and a year later I was elected West Vice President. So because of the California organization,
which was one at that time.
Yes.
Probably.
Yeah. Oh yes. Yeah. Oh yes. The California Community College organization is quite old. It's actually a couple of years older, like the New York organization is a couple of years older than AMATIC. But yeah, so then I became West Vice President. And I served, I don't know, two or three terms, whatever I was allowed to as West Vice President. And then I was elected Secretary. I decided I wanted to remain on the board, and I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do, so I thought, okay, I'll try the Secretary position. That lasted 2 years. I found out that I did not like being Secretary, didn't enjoy that at all. So at the end of that cycle, I ran for President-elect. And then went through the president-elect, president, past president cycle in the late 90s. Was president from 95 to 97. The two conferences that I conducted, that I was involved with as president, were 96 in Long Beach and 97 in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And left the board in 99 when my term as past president ended. And stayed off the board about a year. And at that point, the person who was program coordinator was getting ready to resign from her position. She'd done it for several years. And that's about when Phil Miller was president-elect, and he said, why don't you think about being program coordinator? You know, you need something else to do. And I didn't want back on the board. So he says, you need something else to do. You know this program. So I said, okay, I'll consider that. And anyway, I was appointed program coordinator, and I was asked to shadow my predecessor for a year, and this was about 2001. And it turned out that I was to take the job the next year. In 2001, my predecessor had open-heart surgery and became quite ill. A few days before I was to meet with this person and, her name was Vicki, and the presider chair, and learn how to put the program together. Well, she was in the hospital with surgery. So I learned how to put the program together by working with the presider chair and because of what I knew about AMATIC, basically. So I picked up that job a year early. This is...
No shadowing.
No shadowing. I'm completing 12 years now as the program chair. This is my last year as program chair.
What's next?
I have no idea. I don't know.
So when you were president of AMATIC, what were some of the issues that the organization was facing?
When I became president, we had just completed and released the first standards document in 1995. We had just, in 95, we celebrated the release of the standards with a party, a celebration at that conference, and then I became president. So it was getting that document out to all of our membership, all of the community colleges, figuring out how to best get it in the hands of our membership so that they could take it to their administration and make the best use of the document, as well as figure out how to use it themselves. Putting on workshops, training workshops, as far as teaching people what's in the document. Mm-hmm. We spent quite a bit of time doing that. Recruiting membership. Looking for what was our next adventure, what was our next goal. At that point in time, we were running several summer institutes, grant-funded, mm-hmm. and so there were several of those that we worked on. About the time that I was probably past president, we became aware of Project Next, MIA's Project Next, and it was meeting at, I believe they were meeting in Providence, Rhode Island.
That was the project that sort of... groomed future.
Yes, that's where Access came from.
Right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so we thought, well, if they can do it, so can we. And it was in Providence. At that point, Phil Mailer was showing interest in being a leader in the organization. He was the Northeast VP, close to Providence. So I said, okay, I'll come back to Providence and go to that MAA meeting. It was a regional area meeting. And so he says, all right, I'll join you down there and we'll see what this is and what their structure is and if we could import it and right. tailor it to AMATIC. And so we did and started it. Phil then went forward with it as president and got money from, I believe it was Exxon, and began the our current Project Next, which of course we named Access with three C's.
Well, everything has to be an acronym, doesn't it?
It is. It is.
That's been an immensely important program, hasn't it?
It is. It has. I'm very proud of that program. I think we've got a lot of young leaders coming up through that program, and I think it's that is what I see as critical to the future of our organization, mm-hmm. is bringing in the newer members, creating a culture of the expectation of professionalism, professional involvement, and. To me, that's our biggest challenge, is to perpetuate the organization and get the buy-in and the understanding of the younger generation as to what the organization is, why it's important, what it can do for them, and what they can do for the profession. Because my generation is retiring. We're cycling out. And so we don't want the organization to be stifled. We want to move forward.
That is, you are the fourth past president I have interviewed. And that is the common thread,
yep.
in everyone's
yep.
conversation, that future involvement is so important.
Critical.
Do you have any ideas how we could do that?
Well,
what's your advice?
I personally think that this conference is our strongest selling point. And the nature of this conference, the fact that what happens at this conference our membership can take home and immediately experiment with on Monday morning. Mm-hmm. It's applicable to what they're interested in and what they do. It's an organization that always has been fairly friendly as far as reaching out to others and getting other people involved. I have attended a few MAA meetings, and if you are not a part of the university culture and you're not really interested in the research aspect, in my view, you might as well not go, because that really isn't the focus of the organization, and they have no interest in you. And right. This organization has to be different. This organization has to focus on showing their membership that they're interested in their professional development and their growth. What we have has to be of value to our members. Our newer members have to see it as value added. So you probably have to ask them what would be of most interest to them, what would be most useful.
So for you, the key is a hook.
Yes.
That is the interest and applicability hook, so
yes.
to speak.
Yes.
They have to see relevance.
Correct. If you we've always built these conferences on the belief that if you get somebody to attend one of these conferences, they will come back because they'll like what they found. Mm-hmm. Now, they may not come back every year, because it's expensive to go cross country, it's expensive to get to one of these conferences, but they will come back. Maybe it's every 2 or 3 or 4 years. And in the meantime, they need to be active in their local affiliate organization within the state level, because pretty much everybody can do that. That's not so expensive. And so we need a partnership with our affiliates that involves our newer members. Mm-hmm. And I just, the quality of what we produce has to be our strongest draw, I think. And it isn't just the sessions. Of course, I hope the sessions and workshops they find are of high quality, but it's the connections they make. It's the professional connections that they make. It's the fact that they've met somebody from across the country and that has the same issue that they have. They can now get on the phone or on email and say, I'm having problems figuring out how to do this. Do you have an answer? They've got somebody they can ask.
It decreases the isolation.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And since my first job was in a college that was quite isolated, with only one other colleague who was as uninterested in professional activity as you could get, you know, I immediately jumped into this profession and felt isolated. And it was like, okay, how can I figure out how to make this better? Because this bozo's not going to help, you know?
You know, I have been teaching for 21 years now, and I've always been amazed that as people-oriented as this job is, mm-hmm. if you're not careful, it can be extremely isolating.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's kind of ironic. Mm-hmm. You're surrounded by people mm-hmm. Every day, mm-hmm. and yet you're isolated. Mm-hmm. So this is a very important organization.
It is. And in my administrative role, one of the reasons I wanted to get into the dean's position was that I felt like I could make a difference, because I felt like I could control the hiring that went on. Not only getting positions for my division, but who got those positions. Because I'm not interested in years and years and years of experience. I'm interested in excitement for the profession. Mm-hmm. Not to say that those with years of experience aren't excited. Many are.
Right.
But that's not, the years of experience isn't what says this is the best candidate
right.
for the job. It's the excitement and the ability to relate to students. But those new teachers frequently come in with no role models except their university professors, which doesn't work real well as a role model for the job that they're walking into. So a lot of what I do now is teach my teachers how to teach, teach my new faculty how to teach, or set them up with mentors
right.
within the department that are good teachers. Because that's, I mean, you one person well, can't do
mentors.
It all. You hook them up with
right.
mentors.
Would you like to see us do more outreach to the state affiliates?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that the relationship between AMATIC and the state affiliates is good. I think it could always be better. And I would say the same thing there I said with our membership. I would ask the affiliates what AMATIC can do for them. Not what they can do for AMATIC, but what can we do for them? how can we support them? And I know that the organization has done that from time to time, and there are various things, affiliate scholarships, there are various things that we've tried. And the vice presidents work pretty hard at staying in connection with their affiliates and going to the affiliate meetings. But what can we best do to support them? And some of the affiliates are very well established, very strong in their leadership, very active, and others are less so. And, you know, how can we help?
You already referenced this a little bit when you were talking about an MAA meeting that you had attended. But how are we perceived, we being AMATIC and to your faculty members, perceived by for your faculty members?
When I got into the presidential cycle and started having to go to Washington, D.C. and interact at that level, it became even more clear to me that we had to fight our way in the door. We, AMATIC, the two-year colleges, had to say, look at us, pay attention to us. When I first got involved and started participating at that level, the National Science Foundation couldn't care less about two-year colleges. Mm-hmm. Prior to us getting the grant for the first standards document, NSF pretty much would not award a grant to a two-year college faculty member because they required the person to have a PhD. Well, some of us have PhDs and some don't. It's not a requirement for what we're doing. And it's not a requirement to be an excellent instructor or to be a strong PI in a grant. And it took us quite a while of beating on their door and to get our foot in the door. And my predecessors did a lot of that. And I'm talking about Carl Smith, Dale Ewan, Karen Sharp, Marilyn Mays. I mean, you just keep putting yourself in front of them, saying, "We're here. Look what we can do. Invite us to be reviewers. Get us back there." Right. And I well remember Karen saying, I think she was past president. I think Marilyn was president at the time. And I well remember her looking at Marilyn and myself and saying, you know, we beat on their door so much to get them to listen that now they won't leave us alone. They figured out we're successful and we can do this because we pulled off that first grant and wrote the standards document. And from that, I think that really established us as the organization, as being able to follow through on what we said we were going to do.
Well, and Marilyn said something very interesting in her interview. She said one of the things that we were always respected for was the fact that we could do so much with so little money.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Our four-year partners would say, okay, now this will take X thousands to do this. Mm-hmm. And we sort of looked at it saying, okay, we've got some time this weekend. We can get together and figure this out, you know. There was a lot of that first grant, that first standards document grant, the grant that supported it, that was written in the very late hours in a hotel bedroom by about six of us.
Really? Where really? Were we all? Do you remember?
Oh, no, I don't. I don't remember. The hotels have all run together.
I bet they have after all this time.
But there were a lot of jokes about the grant being created in a hotel room. You know?
So, how about the high school teachers? How about the secondary ed? How are we perceived by them? Because two-year colleges have not always had a positive perception from that direction either.
I think it's something we have to continue to work on. And I deal with this in my current role with the high schools in my area.
Right.
We're frequently seen as the fallback position. You don't have to prepare to go to community college. You can, if you can't get into the university you want, you can always go to the four-year school. We've all heard that line.
Mm-hmm.
But with the costs going up and the tuition prices rising, we're finding more and more of the students who would have gone away to the four-year school are starting with us. And we're also, I have yet to find somebody who starts with a community college and goes on to the four-year school who doesn't come back and say, I got the best instruction, the best faculty, the best foundation at that community college. I have yet to find anybody who doesn't say that.
Well, and I don't have firsthand knowledge of California community mm-hmm. colleges, but they've always seemed to me to have a much more seamless approach than other states have. I mean, it almost seems to be a logical progression through those
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it is because the four-year schools, even though there are so many of them in California, they don't have the capacity to serve the population that we've got. My particular college that I'm where I am runs about 15,000 students, and that's an average-sized community college in California. Some of the community colleges in California are 30,000 plus, and some are districts that are scary. San Francisco City College is probably over 90,000 students. There just isn't the kind of capacity in the four-year school to serve that population.
Right. And we've talked about this a little bit too, but to what extent is the two-year college math professional heard at the national level, the voice of that of AMATIC and, as a result, all of us?
Well, I have been out of that cycle for 10 years now, but I would say that we are heard. Our members are frequently invited to come back and serve as reviewers for NSF. We are at the table with the other groups, and we have been for some time, with the Conference Board of Mathematical Sciences, the CBMS, with the Scientific Society of Presidents, the CSSP, I guess it's Council of Scientific Society Presidents, I don't know. But we have a place at the table. It took us a while to get there.
So before I let you go here, tell me what your advice to future AMATIC leadership is.
Pay attention to your membership. And I would also say pay attention to, I don't want to downplay community colleges, but look at the market. We are not MAA. We are not NCTM. We shouldn't try to be. I think we're better. But we're not that big. We're not going to be that big because there just aren't that many community colleges. There aren't that many math faculty. It's a limited pool. We need to know who we are and play to what we do best. So that would be my suggestion. I am nervous when we hire outside professionals and spend too much money to do something that we as volunteers have been doing for years. I really am, because I don't think we can afford it. I think we have to keep remembering that we aren't that rich, we the organization.
Well, and that outside people might not have the perspective that
absolutely do not have the perspective that we have, and won't give it the devotion, the time, the blood, sweat, and tears, if you will.
Or maybe
that we
not
will.
Even understand it.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Yes.
Well, thank you for sitting with us. I
sure.
enjoyed it very much.
I had fun. Thank you.